Chrysler's Day of Destiny.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It looks like Chrysler has a future after all. But part of that future may be in bankruptcy court. Late last night, talks broke down between its creditors and the U.S. Treasury Department. President Obama will address the nation, the situation, in a couple of hours. More now for Marketplace's Steve Henn.
A deal that might have saved Chrysler from bankruptcy was scuttled last night by a small group of hedge funds. Chrysler owes its creditors almost $7 billion. It borrowed most of that money from banks. And earlier this week, those banks agreed to take $2 billion in cash from the federal government and just walk away. But some hedge funds, which also own Chrysler debt, balked. Eric Merkel's an independent auto industry analyst. He says a Chrysler bankruptcy doesn't mean the deal with Fiat is off.
I think they will announce both at the same time.
Obama may make those announcements himself. But Rebecca Lindland, director of automotive research for Global Insight, says even in a controlled bankruptcy, there are big risks.
It's like surgery. You could run into some kind of unforeseen complication, and the whole thing explodes and the patient dies.
That patient employs 54,000 people in the U.S. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Let's check in this morning with Lance Pan. He's the director of investment research at Capital Advisors Group, joining us live from Boston this morning. Good morning to you, Lance.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for being with us. What are the worries about a bankruptcy process for Chrysler?
Well, our concern is that, of course, all bankruptcies start with Chapter 11, which is really an reorganization of a firm's creditor claims leaving the existing management in place. I think President Obama and his team was hoping for a speedier bankruptcy filing, which is a prepackaged bankruptcy. But the opposite could be true, that if a few holdouts win, then we could eventually talk about a liquidation scenario, which basically means selling off the firms in pieces to bidders. And that could have issues with the job losses, not just at the firm, but also at the places where supply auto parts to Chrysler as well. And that could have some ramifications to the Midwestern economy and the U.S. economy in general.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Chrysler has, 50,000-plus jobs, right? So we're talking about all those jobs affected plus suppliers?
Yes, you're not talking about the firm entirely being gone. I mean, the name will be gone, but parts of it would still exist. But I think initially the talk may be talking about close to 20,000 layoffs. But if you were to add to the supplies that are affected, you are talking about hundreds of thousands of jobs lost if that actually goes into liquidation instead of reorganization.
And in just a few seconds, Lance, what does the president have to say to put sort of minds at ease?
I think they may have enough votes in place to actually get this through in to have a prepackaged bankruptcy successful. I think the president would just have to assure the American public that not all bankruptcies are bad.
We're certainly going to hear from him in just a few hours. Thank you, Lance Pan, Director of Investment Research at Capital Advisors Group.
All right. Thank
you. All that to digest this morning before breakfast. So where's Wall Street? Wall Street's up. Dow's up less than 1%, about 0.8%. NASDAQ, S&P up as well. The NASDAQ's up 1.5%. European shares up. Asian markets surged this morning as well. We learned today that initial jobless claims dropped a bit in the last week to 631,000. That's better than expected, but continuing claims set another record for the 13th week in a row. The Senate is expected to reject legislation today on so-called mortgage cram-downs. That's the measure that would let bankruptcy judges rewrite mortgages and lower monthly payments. It's already cleared the House, but it's a tough battle in the Senate. Republicans and some Democrats are not on board. You can learn more, by the way, about the cram-down process by checking out our whiteboard video inside our website, marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. American Public Media presents the Poetry Radio Project. You can hear unique perspectives on global events and American culture at americanpublicmedia.org/poetry.
The Federal Reserve wrapped up a pretty uneventful two-day policy session. The key rate, the interest rate, stands at just a hair above zero. But with all that money being infused into the economy, the Fed is keeping a close eye on inflation. So is the Treasury Department and Wall Street and Congress. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now. Chris, we're hearing this word hyperinflation in the lexicon. What's that all about?
People have different definitions, but it's the worst of the 1970s. So it's double-digit inflation. And there's concerns because the Fed has been pumping the system full of money to try and turn this economy around. And, you know, I just don't see it. In the GDP report that came out this week, we saw that prices are stable. But I have to tell you something. Now, we have to make a little bit of a side tour here, but I just have to highlight a report that came out this week, Steve, because I still think it's an amazing number. So the Fed funds rate, right, the benchmark interest rate, is somewhere between 0 and 0.25%. I think it's zero. So let's say it's zero, right?
Yeah.
So the ideal, the perfect benchmark interest rate at this particular point in our history should be minus 5%.
Minus?
Minus. Now,
How do you go there? Does that mean they start giving you money back?
Well, I would hope so. It's pretty hard to get a negative interest rate. It's pretty hard to get interest rates below zero. But this is a very well-respected measure. It's called the Taylor Rule. Okay, we're not going to get minus 5% interest rates. I mean, you just can't do it. It's mind-boggling. But it does support the efforts by the Fed to be buying long-term treasuries, to be buying debt, sort of be doing all these extraordinary actions that they have been taking. And by the way, that's going to be a big part of the discussion that they've had this week of continuing those extraordinary actions.
All right. It's our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, joining us this morning. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Let's check Wall Street one more time. The Dow up about 1% at this hour, 83 points. NASDAQ about 1.5%. And the S&P 500 up about 1.1% at this hour, right now, as a matter of fact. And we're watching it. We have it on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.